kept saying, this is a people's church, this is a people's church. People from every background, from every walk of life, and even a gathering of people from different nations and different cultures. And people from nations, and people are going to come, people are going to come, they're going to come. I don't think God really always repeats himself, but when we hear from him, we get excited about what he's saying. And they're going to wonder why they've come. They won't even know themselves. But they feel a tug, they feel a pull of the Spirit. And I feel, this is the person sensing from God, I feel as well, there'll be people that will be sent here. And they'll be sent from their own backgrounds, their own cultures. Because this is to be a place that will become a place of restoration and a place of wholeness. Now, I believe that what happened yesterday was an illustration of that. People came and got prayed for. People received something. Not only was it a craft fair where it was fun, where there was joy being shared, but people also received something from Jesus. Real joy. But there are quite a lot of people in our congregation this morning who weren't here in 2010, 6 years ago. And what this person sensed from God has come true. When did you come, Miri? When did you come from... I know you... Obviously, you come from a different nation, from Korea. But when was it? What year? 2010. Hallelujah. There's some people here who've come from Canada. Two people from Canada. One person I know from America, although you've lived in England a while. Yeah. A couple sitting there from Poland. A person here from Belgium. And you might wonder why you've come. Because God's brought you here. Amen. I can see a lovely couple not sitting with each other at the moment, but I can see Sunny and Kay. But you've come from a different culture, haven't you? And we heard a bit of your testimony a few weeks ago. Am I right? You would describe that you were brought up in a Punjabi culture? And was your family background Sikh? Yeah, so I've got that right. So people from different cultures. Yes, oh, we've got a Polish person here. She knows why she come. I'm not Polish. You're not Polish, are you? Where are you from? Lithuania. Wow. Thank you, Marilyn. A recent addition from abroad. We've got some Africans here as well, have we not? Wave at me if you're from where? Zimbabwe, Uganda, Ghana. Wow! God's word comes true, doesn't it? When that man brought that word, I said, wow, thank you, Father. Because I really like this wonderful expression of God's family here. Together. Pardon, Marilyn? Oh, thank you. Yes, mustn't forget our Chinese friends, who I think are probably busy with the children this morning. But we have two Chinese families as well. And when we started that outreach cafe that's mentioned up there, Lei was one of our converts through the first time we had an outreach cafe.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Chinese person who needed to be restored, and God did more than that, saved her. Hallelujah. So isn't God good? Bringing joy to our community. Well, thank you so much, everybody that helped on Saturday. But when I talk about loving the community every day of the week, there are some people who've taken on some special tasks. Some of you will know Chris and Anna have two quite challenging children to look after. Some of you will know that Alan and Mary have one particular child to look after, and they're showing love to those people, but also bringing joy into their homes. Because if they weren't with those couples, there would be no joy for them, would there, from what we know about their background? How many of you, just raise your hand if you've got children. Way, look at that lot. Do you know, God says in his word that children are a joy. Did you know that? Do you believe it? Now you have brought joy to our community because you produced children and you brought them here. So praise God that two people I've noticed are expecting babies. More joy. Also responsibility, I have to say. But joy. How many of you people who raised your hands have got teenagers? Quite a lot. Thank you. Put your hands down. Or in secondary school. I hate it when I hear people say, oh, what's going to happen when they become teenagers? I think teenagers are the most joyful people out. Who can remember their teenage years and say they can enjoy it? Oh, a few people. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Teenagers bring joy into a community. I want to say to you something very interesting that happened. I can't remember what event it was. Oh, yes, it was the practice that we were doing, Richard and Eva's wedding, so we were doing it. And there were four lads who roam around Shirley Park in the evening not knowing what to do. But they'd climbed up here, and they do it quite a lot, actually. So who else has seen them? Yeah. A few people. Oh, right, quite a lot. And I thought, wow. It was Des... Another day, Des said to me, excuse me, Dave, if I'm going to make it squeak. Des said to me, tell them off, Dave. And all I did was think, four teenage boys. What a privilege. What did the word say? He's going to send them to us. Did it not say? People from all different backgrounds. I just beamed at them and said, be careful, boys. And they came back another day. Whoops. Anyway, am I making a point? Do you see the point? Oh, good. I'm glad you see the point. So now I'm leading up to, I want you to join me in praying a blessing into our community. How many of you know, good, it's still there. How many of you know that God describes himself as Yahweh Rophe, or Rophe, I don't know how you say it. Oh, good, a few of you. What does it mean? Oh, sorry, you've heard the word, but does anyone know what it means, Rophe? Pardon? No, that's Jehovah Jireh. Nope. Anyway, let me tell you what Jehovah Rophe means. It means healer. And I now am proclaiming that through you as a community of people who believe in Jehovah Rophe, because he, Jesus, came to heal the sick and mend the brokenhearted. Do you believe it? He did. And he's doing it now. Not just in Love Shirley week, although he'll do something special that week, but all the time he wants to heal the community. Now, how many of you work in what's called the caring professions, like doctors, nurses, and all that? Just raise your hands, please. Come on. Yes, somebody who, lots of people here to do with hearts. And anyway, bless you for what you do in the community. Your job is described as a caring profession. Do you bring joy to our community? You certainly do. I was saying to Liz down here, because she was above me at one point in time, I can't remember what we were doing, but she kind of looked at me and gave me something. I was below you, I don't know why. I was sat down and you were standing up, that was all it was. But I said, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have you as a nurse, Liz, with that beaming smile? It brought me joy. I tell you what, there's a group of teenage lads that really love this man sitting at the back, or standing, sorry, because they are lads who don't know what to do with their life, but he trusts them and he gives them encouragement, don't you? And he brings joy into that college, and there's so much misery there. But thank you for doing that in your profession. Now, all of you have that choice. Some of you live outside of Shirley, but within this general community, you can bring joy, can't you? Especially you retired ones, because you've got so much time. Yeah, do you see? So, I knew that reaction. Anyway, that's a little preach. Now I want to pray a blessing. I've proclaimed something and now I want to pray, and you try and follow it with me. Lord, I want to pray right now for those in our community who are suffering sickness, that they might know the healing power of Jesus. And I pray that you will be with any who are ill in our community, that you'll make them well. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the people of this area will come to know the fullness of life that you came to give. And in Jesus' name, I bless the people of Shirley to receive a healing touch from the Lord. I bless them with health and well-being. I bless them with health and well-being, and I bless them to have their emotional wounds healed and to experience wholeness in their lives. Amen. I've just put into practice there something from Luke 10, and we'll look at that in a minute. But now I want to tell you a story. If I can find my place. Here's my storybook. You are commanded not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Has that ever happened to you? Sorry? Yes? A few hands. It was first said, as recorded in Scripture, when a crippled man, and you'll see the relationship to my prayer and blessing, a crippled man had been miraculously healed. And two of Jesus' followers, Peter and John, were now in court because they had helped this man be healed in the name of Jesus. And it was because they'd said, because they'd explained to a whole crowd of people who'd seen this man completely healed, they said, it's not our power that's done it. It's been done in the name of Jesus, whom our leaders have crucified. But Jesus, they go on to say, is now alive, and his healing power now works through us to bring to this man. This crippled man is now able to walk because Jesus is alive. Now, because they said that, the local authorities got really annoyed and they threw them in court. Or they didn't throw them, they took them to court. And then they said that to them. But that's their reply. So if we go back to what it said, it's just that they're saying, we command you not to speak in the name of Jesus or teach in the name of Jesus. What did they say? We can't help it. We jolly well can't help it because it's amazing. We can't help speaking about the things we've seen and heard. Do you understand? And they were willing witnesses. If we go on to the next slide, please. This is what they were willing witnesses about. Peter and John said, we saw this man suffer. We've just remembered him suffering. And we know why. They were witnesses of an awful suffering. And then they were witnesses of an amazing resurrection. They were witnesses then of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can you be a witness to the saving power of Jesus? Can you be a witness to his resurrection because Jesus is living in you by his Holy Spirit? Can you be like Peter and John? I suggest you can, because it's the same Holy Spirit that we can receive. And it's that same Holy Spirit that brings joy into our community. Because when that crippled man was healed, everyone was absolutely amazed and excited. And when the authorities looked at the situation and said, well, we can't do anything about it right now because the whole of the town knows an amazing miracle has happened. I remember that God sometimes does amazing things to confirm the word of God amongst us. And I remember when I was preaching in Russia, in a place called Kazan in Tatarstan, and I said, anybody who's crippled, come to the front. And I prayed for this woman. And then, turn me off, Dave, she said, I'm better, I'm better. And she went right the way. It was an auditorium of about... about 2,000 people, and she ran all the way around it, shouting for joy. Amen. It wasn't me, was it? The power in the name of Jesus. But God confirmed what I was preaching to these people by a sign or a wonder. And he likes to do that. Do you know that? We have some beautiful people in this room who I've had the privilege of getting to know. And I see the work of Jesus Christ in them through the Holy Spirit. You have brought joy into your families, into your community. I tell you the thing that moved me most yesterday. There were two or four lovely singers. Only one of them's here today. Louise is around, yes, and so was Penny. They're probably out with the children. And Tracy, you are Tracy. Treza. Sorry, Treza. I'll get there in the end. So there's Treza, Penny, Louise, and who was the other person? Remind me. Pardon? Kate. Four lovely ladies just simply singing. And how many people heard them? I only heard them practice. That moves me. You brought joy to me because you were singing the truth. You were being witnesses simply by singing. It did me the world of good to hear beautiful harmony, beautiful singing, as it does me the world of good when we worship Jesus here together. Better get to my notes now. Now we're up to number three, which is really good, thank you. We've got a leaflet here. It says, what's on guide? Monday, we have seekers. That's children in years 1 and 2 who come here for a group. And they're not just our children, they're quite a few others, aren't they? Aren't they? Yeah. Some of them quite challenging. But, do you have fun? Bringing joy into the community. Then, I think also in the afternoon, John, you have a Bible study, don't you? Do you still have a Bible study in the afternoon, John? Yes. And do you have people from outside of our direct church come? Are they? So, you're bringing joy into the community, aren't you? And the same thing happens at Bridging the Gap, the Bible study on Tuesday, the breastfeeding cafe, and something called Lively Hearts Club. It's a joyful place to be, isn't it? Sometimes they get a bit grumpy, as older people do, but usually you have a good laugh, don't you? Christopher, am I right? Where's Christopher? Can you confirm? Oh, poor Christopher. He's got... Do you have a nice time on Tuesday afternoon? You do. Praise God. And it's lovely. Then it happens on a Wednesday. We have something called Love, Acceptance and Healing. People have been really blessed on that day. We have stay and play. Is she here? There you are, Chris. That is fun, isn't it, Chris? Because Chris and I have this unique, we have this little thing about teaching should be fun, don't we? She was a fun teacher, and I got into a lot of trouble as a school teacher because I like to have fun with my pupils. And that's why I never became, I did become a senior member of staff, but I never became a head teacher because of my reputation. Because I wrote in my letters, teaching and learning should be fun. That didn't go down very well. I don't know why, because people learn when they are enjoying themselves. Oh, I've forgotten. Where have we got up to? I got distracted by stay and play, but is fun there? Oh, we have a ladies' prayer meeting. Do you ever laugh in that? Yes, I thought you might do. Not at each other, but about situations, I hope. And then we have a pass it on. Who's part of pass it on? Do you enjoy pass it on? Is that why you come? Okay. And it's not just people from our church that go. Oh, I've forgotten to read. I've forgotten it, seeing someone over there. Breastfeeding cafe. I didn't mention that. Do you have some fun there? You do. Good. I'm pleased about that. And there's all sorts of things happening, but I've got up to Thursday. Then there's Friday for United Group and the youth group as well happening. And then Saturday, Authentic Meet. Is that right? Sometimes. Yeah, not every week. So what's the point I'm making? We already are doing something together. And this is one way that we can bring joy into the community. But God will ask you to do other things from time to time. I'm fairly sure of that. You better help me. What comes next? Oh, well, I know what I'm meant to do. Yeah, go on next. It should say something about Luke 10. Okay, I'm going to read to you Luke 10. It will take me 5 minutes. And I might make some little questions as we read it. But here are 3 questions for you to get the answer to while I read it. Is that okay? Okay, so I'm going to ask you after I've read it, what did Jesus say was a privilege or an honor or joy to do? Or why did Jesus say we should be happy? Did you know that he said you should be happy about something? To whom does Jesus reveal truth? And my last question, please, the next one, what will Jesus never take away? Okay, we'll go back to the first questions and I'm going to read it. If you have a Bible, would you like to look at Luke chapter 10? For time's sake, I'll just read little bits of it, but I'll tell you where I am. I'm going to start at verse 1. Jesus chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit. Oh, incidentally, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's slightly different to most other translations. These were his instructions to the disciples. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his fields. Go now and remember I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. That's an interesting picture. Jesus sends us out into the community as lambs among wolves. That's a bit frightening, perhaps. But let me just tell you what Jesus was seeing, or what the people were seeing. What do you see lambs do? What do? They run and jump. They're full of joy, aren't they? And when they're in danger, their mum calls them with a or something like that. I don't know. That's better. And they come running. Jesus would say to us, in our community, there's someone our biggest wolf of all, who would like to rob, kill, and destroy. But I'm sending you out as lambs. In other words, I'm sending you out with joy that you can skip, you can be feeling privileged and really honored that you can actually share something. He's sending us out into the community. Verse 5, whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. Did you notice what I prayed in a blessing? I want to teach you how to bless places. When you go and visit somebody for the first time, how you can bless them when you go into their house. It might be as simple as, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Or simply you could say, God bless you when you arrive. That's an easy instruction to obey, isn't it? Get on, David. If those who live there are worthy, the blessing will remain, will stand. If not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide you. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick. And as you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is near you now. Shavinda and I had the privilege of praying for, in someone's house, she's there somewhere, there she is, and she can confirm this, for a 15-year-old girl, or maybe she's 16 now, 16-year-old girl, who has got really serious problems with her hips and with her back. And we prayed, as it says there, for her to be healed. And I also use that scripture. What did I use? The kingdom of God is near you. And then I asked her later, after we'd finished praying, what did that mean to you? And she said, I think what it means is today God has come closer to me. Isn't that wonderful? That was the way she interpreted that. And indeed, he had drawn alongside her. Because I was taking healing in the name of Jesus. I'm going to whiz down now to verse 16. Jesus said to his disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. Now the 72 disciples returned, joyfully reporting to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning. And I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice just because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. What makes us joyful? Because we're included in God's kingdom. That's what you've got to rejoice about. Verse 21. Then Jesus, filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves wise and clever and revealing it to the childlike. Yes, Father, it's pleased you to do it this way. My Father has given authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then when they were alone, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, How privileged you are to see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings have longed to see and hear what you have seen and heard. but they could not. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "That's right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." And the man, wanting to justify his actions, said, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus gave this illustration. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him half dead beside the road. And by chance, a Jewish priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey, and he took him to an inn where he took care for him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver and told the innkeeper to take care of the man. "If his bill runs higher than that," he said, "I'll pay the difference next time I'm here." "Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." That's the same that he would say to us. That's how we can love people in our community. We see them in need, and we can try and patch them up. But that prophecy that I read earlier said they can be restored. So what do we do with people that we meet who've been battered by life's experiences? We can bring them to the inn. This is the inn. This is the place where we have an innkeeper who can refresh and heal people. Do you realize when you pay your money into the collection, or you pay your tithe, or you add to it, what you're doing is seeking to care, not just for you to have meetings here, but for you to reach out into your community with love. That's what it's all about. And thank you for contributing. Like this man said, "Here's 2 silver coins. If we need any more, I'll provide it." And the innkeeper believed him, looked after the guy, and he was restored. Are we getting the message? It's an easy message, isn't it? And it's confirmed by Jesus here in that parable. But I'm going to finish the chapter now. Because as I read it recently, Jesus really spoke to me from this. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way, they came to a village where there was a woman named Martha, and he welcomed them into her home. Now, let me just say, that is putting into practice what Jesus had already taught his disciples. Right? He'd gone to a village, yeah, and he was having a meal, because that's what he told them. When you go to a village, give whatever you get given. Eat it. Eat the meal and heal the sick. So Jesus was doing it. And Martha welcomed them into her house. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Jesus said to her, my dear Martha, you're so upset about these details. There's really only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. I won't take that away from her. Have we got the questions up? What did Jesus say? Somebody just call out, because I can't hear when I'm up out the front very easily. What did Jesus say was a privilege to be a part of? A bit louder. No. Oh, sorry, yes. The answer to the question is the second question, what you brought. Why did Jesus say we should be happy is the answer that you've just given. And Mary, was it you that said, what did you say? Okay, it's a privilege, Jesus is saying, to see what he does. Who's seen a healing take place? Just raise your hand. That's a privilege, he says. Who has seen miraculous provision? A few people, right? Yeah, more than a few. Yeah. It's a privilege to see that, Jesus says. I saw something really lovely. I saw Kathy and... is he here? Who else was helping you? Pete, wasn't it? Is Pete here?
Yeah, he's just not.
He's gone to get ready what you have to do on a Sunday. Pete and Kathy, I was privileged to see them do something really beautiful. They were fulfilling Luke 10 because they were offering. And Estelle was helping us, wasn't she, yesterday, with fantastic cakes. What a joy to have coffees and teas and cakes. We had to pay for the cakes, but never mind. It was a joy to have them. But Kathy and Pete were exhausted. I don't know how many customers you had. Ben said how many customers came to the Spirit Cafe. What was it? Pardon? 35. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, if you don't mind. But what a privilege to see Jesus at work. If you meet Kathy and talk to her, you'll know why I'm saying it's a privilege to be served tea and coffee from this lovely lady. Thank you. And I'll say the same to Pete when I see him. Now, all sorts of people were helping. Let's do number three question. To whom does Jesus reveal the truth?
The childlike.
Thank you, Alan. So, if we want to know the truth, we've got to be childlike and accept by faith what he tells us. And the last question. What will Jesus never take away from us? That's true. But that's not what this in the passage. Did anyone see it at the end? Sitting at his feet. It's such a privilege to Jesus to have his friends sit at his feet. And he won't take away that privilege for us. Got it? Don't rejoice because the demons submit to you. Rejoice, your name is written in heaven. Rejoice about that. And what is that going right back to the beginning? We can't help but tell about Jesus because we have witnessed he's changed our lives, made us new people. It's worth talking about. We can also say, and this might make people a bit people who don't know Jesus are a bit surprised, but we can say, he has spoken to me. Now, what happened at the Spirit Cafe, I've got a whole sheet of paper about the treatments that you can have, and some of you were wonderfully a part of it. So we did what was called spiritual readings. In other words, when they came, we explained to them that what we wanted to do is hear a message from Jesus and pass it on to them. And quite a lot of that 35 asked for that. Some of them were Christians already and others weren't. Another thing on offer in the Spirit Cafe was physical healing. Another one was what we called a peace treatment. Someone here, I think, had a peace treatment, I can see. And it's from Jesus. And I think there was a fourth one. What have I forgotten? No, we just concentrated on those three, didn't we? And so people were coming and asking for these treatments from weird people like me and Daniel Cole. What a mixture together, me and Daniel. Lovely, it was. Privilege for me. Because when he heard from God, he shared what he saw, what he experienced, and the people said, wow, spot on. Now, those of you who don't know Daniel Cole, you could ask now for a word from God from him. And he'll just be quiet for a few minutes, and he'll, or maybe even a few seconds, and he'll get something, because I have confidence that he's used now to listening to Jesus, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I better finish now. Sorry, folks, I've gone on. But I really do want to get the message across. I think I've done it, haven't I? Let's receive just now in prayer something more of the joy of the Holy Spirit so we can be like Rich and James, thank you, on that video and have that conviction to take joy into our community. Lord, we reach out to you. I do want to say thank you. We've rejoiced in breaking bread and having wine and remembering all that you've done. And we want to say thank you for everlasting life and thank you that our names are written in heaven. We do not take that for granted. We want to say it is a joyful experience. And now, Lord, we want to share something of your resurrection power into people's lives, into our community. And I pray, Lord, that you will pour down your Holy Spirit. Touch people. Touch us, Lord. Some of us have really hard and difficult situations to deal with in our community, and I pray that you will inspire us, give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of prophecy into these people's lives so that we may speak your truth, Lord. Please, will you touch us by your Holy Spirit and make us effective. Make us effective in bringing joy into our community. And now, if you believe that you've been robbed of things, if you believe that you've been robbed of things of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Will you just reach out to God now? I've been majoring on the joy, the fruit of his Spirit in our lives, but just reach out to him right now and say, Lord, I want that fruit to be in my life. Give me your love. Give me an experience of your love by your Spirit. Give me joy. Give me peace. Give me that ability to be patient and kind and good. Develop in us, Lord, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're reaching out to you, Lord, because we believe you're the source. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with your power. In Jesus' powerful name. Amen.